get in the message, let me talk to you a little bit, and this may help you as much as the message does. I just share a little personal experience that happened with me on Friday. And like Brother Randy Greer says, sometimes I'm going to tell on myself. You know, you don't like me telling on you, but you're glad if we tell on ourselves, if we preachers tell on ourselves. So I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. I'll just be honest with you. I was having an awful day on Friday. And I got up and I got out of the house and I had a bad attitude really pretty much from the very beginning on Friday. So I'm just being honest with you. Is that all right? You're all looking at me like, you know, some of y'all about to swallow your teeth there. But I just had a bad attitude. And I don't always or all the time have a bad attitude. But I just didn't start out the right way on Friday morning. And because of my attitude, I mean, things just started going bad. Anything that could go wrong that day was going wrong. And I had planned to go visit one of our guys. We prayed for him a couple of weeks ago, Mickey Gravett, that's incarcerated right now. And I had wanted to go see him, and I'd actually tried on Tuesday to go see him. And I went up to the place where he's incarcerated. And they said, "Oh no, you can't see him today. Are you on our approved list?" And I said, "Well, I didn't read anything about that on your website. That, you know, I just thought, you know, as a minister, if I showed you my credentials, I would be allowed to visit my church member." And they said, "Oh no, you've got to be approved." And the lady handed me about 6 pages of paperwork to fill out. And so I fill out all the paperwork, and I said, "Well, I can." She said, "Well, we might be able to get you in to see him if you get all this filled out and we get you approved and all." So I start filling all the paperwork out, and she says, "Well," she said, "I've got bad news." She came back. She said, "He just left to go to a doctor's appointment. They took him to the doctor." I said, "That's fine. I'll just," and so I got everything, you know, filled out for the approval, and I had some books to leave for him that he had requested. I said, "Can I leave these books?" She says, "No, we can't. You can't leave books. They can only bring a Bible in. He's already got a Bible." I said, "Well, how do they get material?" "Well, it has to be sent in from the publisher." I said, "Well, okay, we'll figure out that then." And so on Thursday, then I called up there to see if I had been approved. I'm still ringing. Josh, if you can take care of that, I would appreciate it if you're able to. But on Thursday, I called back up to the jail, and I said, "Hey, my name's David Harris. I was there on Tuesday trying to see one of our church members that's incarcerated, and I filled out the paperwork. I just wanted to make sure that I've been approved and I can come back up today." Then they said, "I will need to put you through to Major So-and-so." And of course, Major So-and-so didn't answer the phone, and I had to leave a message with Major So-and-so. So I left a message and explained my situation, asked him to call me back. That was Thursday morning, pretty early. He never called me back, you know, throughout the whole day. And so Friday, I'm getting up and I'm thinking, I need to go see Mickey. And he's, you know, had asked me to come see him. And here, you know, it's been all week long now and I've not been able to get there. I don't know what he's thinking. You know, his pastor's forsaken him. And so Major So-and-so, you know, that so-and-so never called me back. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, I need to get back up there and see him. And I'm doing all this other stuff as well, and everything's just going wrong. And so Josh and Wesley are up in the sound booth working on our podcast, and David was in the office. And I don't know what happened, but anyway, I walked through here, and I said, "I'm having a horrible day." I think it startled Debbie because I'm not usually that way. So she tried to make me feel better. She says, "Well, Pastor, you just have to have a horrible day once in a while, just so you'll appreciate the good days." I wanted to choke her, you know. So I said, "Well, I don't receive that. You know, I don't accept that." So I walked out the door, and I had gone to a store to get some supplies for a project I was working on. And while I was there, this was earlier in the day. I had found some incandescent light bulbs. I didn't think you could buy those anymore. So I bought me some incandescent light bulbs. And then I had another purchase for the church I was making. The light bulbs were personal, so I bought those first, and I was making the purchase for the church. So I forgot my light bulbs. And so I had to drive back over there to the store, you know, that's when I said, "I'm having a horrible day." And so anyway, so I finally made it up to the jail. And I called them back, and they said, I said, did I get approved? And they said, well, I'm going to have to put you through to Major so-and-so. I said, Major so-and-so didn't return my call. I said, can you tell me, have I been, you know, and she said, oh, well, who do you want to see? And as I told her, you know, she said, well, you can come in and see him today. I said, well, could I have done that Tuesday? If I'd have known that Tuesday, I would have just gone in and seen him Tuesday without having to fill out all the paper. And I said, could I have done that then? Well, I don't know. So anyway, you can imagine my frustration. So I finally get up to the jail, and they finally, and so Major so-and-so finally comes out. He's there when I get up there, and they said, oh, we'll send the major out to see if he's approved your paperwork. And so he comes out, and he's a very nice guy. And he says, I'm sorry, Pastor. He said, I've got all these projects. We've just been so busy around here. I said, yeah. I said, we're all busy. Let me tell you what I've had to deal with, bud. Yeah. And he was very nice, and he, you know, got me in there. He said, just come right in here. We'll get Mickey over here, you know. And so I was in, the way they do it is you go into one little room, and then there's a window and where you can hear them, and then they're in another room. That's when they bring them in, they lock the door. And so so anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm still kind of just seething over my day. And it's like the Lord speaks to me and says, you know, and he can say, you know, he can just speak to you in 1 second, but it's like a whole conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, he's like, he said, when are you going to, you know, when are you going to get over yourself here and start thinking about this, you know, this fellow that I've brought you up here to visit and to see and to minister to him? I thought, well, maybe I should do that. I said, okay, Lord, you know, and so I had my Bible with me. I said, Lord, give me what he needs. Give me the scripture that I need to share with him that will help him. And he was so faithful to do that. And so he comes in and we start visiting, and he's got a question that's troubling him. And so I said, okay, wait a minute. I said, I've got your answer right here. And I opened up that scripture and I read it. And a big smile came across his face. He said, that's just what I needed to hear. That's just what I needed to hear. So God is so faithful, even in our frustration. If we'll just get our eyes off of ourselves from it, which took me all day to do. I know you're more spiritual than that, you would just, you know, you would have got that word when you got up. But I thought that might help some of y'all on some different levels. Amen. And so Mickey's doing good, and continue to pray for him. But he's really doing good, and he's got the peace of God on his life, and he's going to be fine. God's working in his life, amen. And God's going to use him. God's going to use him to reach some of his fellow inmates. I know. Amen. Praise God. Did you find 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 yet? Praise God. If you haven't found it by now, then we need to work with you. praise the Lord. I'm teasing, but I thought it was interesting, this passage that begins in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1, and this is not inspired, this is just what the different Bibles have to say. In the particular Bible, New King James Version that I have, there's a heading, and I don't know, look in your Bible, is there a heading there above verse 13? Raise your hand if your Bible, there's a heading there. Well, mine says, living before God our Father. That's what my heading says. Another translation that I looked up, there was a heading over it, and it says this. It says, a call to holy living. I think that's the New Living Translation. A call to holy living. In the God's Word translation, there's a heading above it as well, heading in it above that passage. And it says this, live holy lives. And in the Message Bible, if anybody has a Message Bible, you'll see in the Message Bible it says a future in God, a future in God. So living, so this passage we're about to read, according to these people that published these different translations, we're going to be talking about living before God our Father. We're going to be talking about a call to holy living. We're going to be talking about live holy lives, and we're going to be talking about a future in God. So with those thoughts in mind on that passage, let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He says, and we read verse 18 and 19 for communion. So that's where we were at during communion. So I want to zoom out a little bit. We were zoomed in at verses 18 and 19. So zoom out with me and we'll look at the whole passage here, verses 13 through 25. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Praise God. So he's talking about us living before God our Father. He's talking about us living holy lives, and he gives us the two agents that are necessary to enable us to do that. We can't do it on our own, can we? We can't do it in our own strength or our own ability, but he gives us the two agents that will enable us and will empower us to live holy lives, to live before God our Father, and to actually live out our future in God, the future that God has for us. And these two agents are the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed from our aimless life, from a useless and fruitless way of life through the blood of Jesus. We've been redeemed unto a life of purpose by the blood of Jesus. And then, not only that, but he says we've been born again, not with corruptible seed, but with an incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. The living word of God has been planted on the inside of us. We've been born again through that word. And so by the blood of Jesus and by the precious blood of Jesus and by the incorruptible word of God, that's how we can live these holy lives that God has called us to. Amen. 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 I want to read this passage to you, if you will indulge me. We're reading a lot this morning, but I think it'll help us. I want to read this passage to you now out of the Message, starting with verse 14. Listen to this. Don't lazily slip back into the, and it'll be on the screen here, so listen real closely here. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then, you do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I'm holy, you be holy. You call out, and I think it's amazing too, we didn't corroborate or collaborate, whichever's the correct one. Jonathan and I didn't, but it's amazing how our songs talked about, take me into the Holy of Holies. You know, and God was calling us up and calling us to holiness through the worship this morning. Amen. He says, I love this too, he says, let yourselves be pulled, in verse 15, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life. See, it's not what we do with our own self-effort, but it's us yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. It's us yielding to the working of the grace of God. And he pulls us into a life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. You know, holiness is not dull and boring. True holiness. Real holiness, the true holiness is not dull and boring and a bunch of you can't do this and you need to stop that and you better not do that. True holiness is energetic and blazing. Amen. 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 Now, will there be stuff that you stop doing? Absolutely. Will there be stuff that you say, no, I don't do that anymore. I'm not going that way anymore. Absolutely, there'll be that. But it won't be out of, oh, I gotta think about what I can't do here. No, you're allowing yourself to be pulled into God's life. Yeah. Hallelujah. A life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, you be holy. Verse 17 in the message here. You call out to God for help and he helps. He's a good father that way. We sang about you're a good, good father. It's who you are. He's a good father that way, but don't forget he's also a responsible father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. That's a part of the way that parents love their children as well, isn't it? It's training them. Training them. Amen. Not letting them get by with sloppy living. Amen. And God won't let us get by with sloppy living. He's calling us higher. He's calling us into holiness. Amen. Hallelujah. Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. Wow. Amen. Isn't that good? Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. That means that everywhere you go and everything you do, be conscious that God is there. God, you know, God doesn't live here in this church. Amen. And once you walk out the door, oh, well, God's in there. He's not going to, you know, it's not going to matter what I do now. Or no, live. We need to live our lives with a deep consciousness of God, that he's with us all the time. Amen. Amen. And yes, that should motivate us. And yes, that should govern the decisions that we make and the things that we do. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, it costs God plenty, verse 18. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought. Even though it has only lately at the end of the ages become public knowledge, God always knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of this sacrifice Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. Amen. Now that you've, verse 22, now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your lives depended on it. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think. A life conceived by God himself. That's why the prophet said, the old life is a grass life. Its beauty is short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dries up, flowers droop. God's word goes on and on forever. This is the word that conceived the new life in you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And so he says here that we're to, in verse 18, that we're to know this, that we're to know that we've been redeemed. And again, it's not like the answer, like we said earlier, not like the answer to a trivia question. Oh, yeah, I know the capital of such and such a place. No, it's living conscious of that. Living conscious every day that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, that we've been redeemed from sin, that we've been redeemed from following our own selfish desires, that we've been redeemed to his purpose, and allow God to pull us into that. Amen? That's the best way to live. Amen. That's the highest way to live. Praise God. Amen. And so, he says here, and going back, and we'll break this down. Back in verse 13, he starts out, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Well, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he says, have your loins. Remember about the armor of God in Ephesians 6? Having your loins girded about with the truth. Well, he's not talking about, you know, he's not talking about your literal loins being girded with the truth. He's talking what Peter says here, the loins of your mind, okay, with truth. And so we need to keep the truth of God in our minds. Amen? The New Living Translation says, think clearly and exercise self-control. See, what we do with our mind, where we allow our thoughts to go, and what we do with our bodies, those things are all important to God. God's not just in, some people say, well, no, God's just interested in your spirit. No, he's interested in your mind. He's interested in your body as well. Amen? Amen. We're to do something with both of those. And then he says that rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our hope is fully in the grace of God. It's by the working, the empowerment of the grace of God that we're pulled into this life of holiness. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And then in verse 14, he says, as obedient children, as obedient children. And so we're to obey God, aren't we? Amen. That's one side of it. That's another part of it that's important as well. And so he says, as obedient children. So it's still right. It's still necessary to obey God. Amen. And so he says, do that. He says, rather than conforming yourselves to the former lust, he says. He says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. And the Message Bible says, you know better now. See, at one time in your life, before you got saved, you just followed a certain course. You just acted a certain way. You said certain things out of your mouth. You did certain things, and you didn't think a thing about it. That's just, you know, that was just your old nature that you were living out of. Well, you've got a new nature now, and you know better now. You ever told anybody that? You know, parents, you ever told your kids that? You know better. You know, they go and do something, and, you know, something dumb, something stupid, you know, something destructive. And you say, look, you know better than that. Yeah. Amen. Well, we know better. Amen. Glory to God. We know better. Praise God. And the New Living Translation, verse 14 says, don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but we do know better now. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And then he says, let's go look at verse 15. He says, in verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. He who called us is holy. Oh, man, when we were singing that today, you're a good, good father. And we started singing, you're perfect in all of your ways. Oh, I could just see God's holiness. Oh, he is. He's perfect. He's never changing. He's never changing. He's always true to his word. He's always faithful. He's always there when we come to him. Hallelujah. He's never devious or shifting. He's not like that. What you see is what you get with God. He's pure. He's holy. He's perfect in all his ways. And he says, he who called you is holy. He says, you also be holy. Amen. Amen. Can you picture Jesus living in an unholy way? I can't. Can you? Can you picture Jesus being devious? No, he was always straightforward and pure. Amen. And all that he said and all that he did. Amen? Amen. Can you see Jesus using profanity, telling off-color jokes? Can you see Jesus getting drunk? Can you see Jesus making sexually suggestive comments? No, he's pure. He's holy. He's perfect. He's our standard. Now again, we can't accomplish this in our own ability, but by his grace and by the working of his spirit and by the blood, by the cleansing of the blood and by the word of God, those two agents, by his blood and by his word, he pulls us into this life of holiness where we're like him.
Amen.
He said, you be holy because he's holy. Amen.
Amen.
And so the message is sometimes people get confused. And they, when we look at, well, let me just read a little bit more here. Verse 17. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now the fear he's talking about is not, here's the place where we need to rightly divide the word, right? Because in Timothy we read, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And in 1 John, we read, perfect love, your perfect love cast out all fear. And we sang about that today, too. Your perfect love cast out fear. So he can't be talking. So then Peter tells us, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. He couldn't be talking about that kind of fear because God's love cast out that fear.
Yes.
Amen? Because God's not given us a spirit of that kind of fear. This is a different kind of fear. The fear he's talking about here is the fear of God, which is a good thing.
Amen.
The fear of God, it just means a respect for God. It just means a desire to walk with God. It means that you want to honor God with your life. A mindset where you want to honor God and where you have respect for God and for the things of God. Amen. And that's what he's talking about here. Again, the Message Bible, it says he won't let you get by with, with sloppy living. And he says, you must live your lives, your journey, with a deep consciousness of God. That's what it said in the message, a deep consciousness of God. That's what the fear of God is. It's living with a deep consciousness of God. It's realizing that God is there all the time. Now, he's not there watching and waiting to see if you mess up so he can slap you. No, he's there. He's there to help us, to empower us, to strengthen us. But we need to know he's with us and in us all the time. Amen. And we should respect him and honor him in all that we do. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But so some people think that they'll get confused and think, well, the messages of being holy and talking about the fear of God, that they're opposed. It's an opposing message to the grace of God and the love of God. But actually, they're complementary. They work together. Yes, we need to know about the grace of God and the goodness of God and the love of God and the mercy of God toward us. We need to major on that. But it's not contradictory. We shouldn't say, well, you know, I believe in the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God. I don't believe in the fear of God or in holiness, you know. No, they work together. You can't have one without the other. And you can't have the fear of God, you know, try to, you know, have respect and honor for God and holiness without understanding the grace of God, because you'll be trying to do it in your own works and you'll never get there. You'll be frustrated. So they work together. They complement each other. I was reading, as I'm reading through the Old Testament, I was reading again about when the Lord appeared to Moses, and he told him, he said, I appeared to Abraham, he said, I revealed myself, or I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. He said, but by my name, the Lord, I was not known by them. Anybody remember reading that? Where he said that? And so he was giving Moses a revelation of himself that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't have. Which one was right? They both are. They both are. He was just saying, okay, yeah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew me like this. This is certainly a side of me and an aspect of me that's true. And they trusted me in that aspect. But I want to reveal another side of myself to you, Moses. Amen. We need to have God reveal all of himself to us. Amen. His grace, his mercy, his love, but also his holiness. Amen. Amen. Everybody doing all right still? Yes. You're getting, is this registering? Yes. I sense that it is. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So again, let's look at that back in the message in verse 14. He says, don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then, but you do now. See, the more knowledge of God that we have, he does hold us to a greater standard. Amen. We know better. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, you be holy. You call out to God for help and he helps. He's a good father that way. But don't forget, he's also a responsible father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. Amen. Amen. So holiness, again, is a life, he says, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. So holiness is not boring. It's not confined. You can't do this. You better stop that. We've presented it the wrong way most of the time. Amen. And again, there's absolutely things that we need to put aside and lay aside and not do. But what does holiness really mean? Holiness really means being set apart. The word holy means set apart. Set apart. It means being set apart for God. Amen. And that goes back to our theme this morning. It's by the blood of Jesus that we've been redeemed from an aimless way of life. We have a purpose now. God, by the blood of Jesus, God took you and he set you apart for himself. Amen. And that working out of holiness on a day-to-day basis in our lives means that we give ourselves more and more to the purpose of God for our lives. That's what it amounts to. Amen. That we loose ourselves from the attachments of this world, because it's interesting. He says in verse 17, where he says, your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. In the New King James, he says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now, the New Living Translation says, during your time as foreigners in the land. God's Word says, your time as temporary residents on earth. In other words, let's put verse 17 up there, Charlene. Notice that out of the New King James. If we can get back to that one. I know I'm kind of skipping around on the notes I gave her. But look, he says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now, Robin and I went down to Fort Walton Beach, and we stayed there for 3 or 4 days last week. But we do not live at Fort Walton. Robin wishes we did. She would, or any beach. She would love to live at. She says, I wonder if I'd ever, she's walking on the beach, I wonder if I would ever get tired of this. I don't think I would. She said. But we stayed there for a few days, but we don't live there. And that's the mindset that Peter's saying that we should have about this earth, about this world, and about this world system. We're staying here, we're passing through here, but we don't live here. Amen. And it's important that we adopt that attitude. We're here, amen. We're in this world. Jesus said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're in the world. He said, as the Father sent me, I've sent you. Well, Jesus came from the Father, didn't he?
Yes.
Amen. And when Jesus walked on this earth, he was glad to be here, I believe. And I believe he wanted to come down here because of his love. He wanted to be able to touch humanity. Amen. And bring healing and life and ultimately bring our salvation about. So he came here, but he's not of the world.
Amen.
He's of God. He was in the world, and he says the same about us. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Paul wrote this. He says, be not conformed to this world, in Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Conformed is from outward pressure. Transformed is from an inward working, the blood of Jesus and the Word of God. Transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Yes. And so, let's look at a couple of things that Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. We'll get back to that one. So holy means we're set apart for God's purpose and we're to have a mindset that I'm in this world, but I'm not of the world. And I'm not going to be entrapped and engrossed and encumbered by that and just be so caught up in this world system. That's what holiness means. It means that we're free, from the pull of the world system. See, Peter talked about being pulled into God's life, being pulled into a life that God has for us. That's the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit that pulls us that way. But there's also a pull in the natural just to be pulled in to this world system, to have the mindset of the world and just to follow, just follow your flesh like all the world does. We're not to succumb to that pull. Amen?
Amen.
2 Timothy 1, verse 9. It says, who has saved us, and, everybody say and. Who has saved us, and called us with a what? A holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I love that. We're not only saved. You ever seen the bumper sticker? I don't see it so much anymore, but you see bumper stickers on cars, and it'd be the one that I would need to get if I had a bumper sticker on my car. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. In case I need to blow my horn at anybody. I thought you were a Christian. I am, but you're in my way right now. I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. So forgive me. No. And so there's those bumper stickers. Anyway, I don't have one on my car. But there's a truth there. There's a truth that Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. We need to understand that side of that truth, that is, there is a truth there. But then that's also a cop-out, I think. if you take it to the other side. Well, you just have to accept me the way I am. I'm not perfect. You know, I'm just forgiven. No, come on up. Let's come on up higher than that.
Amen.
You've been saved, but you've also been called with a holy calling.
Yes.
Not according to your works, but according to His purpose and grace. Let's embrace that purpose and let him bring us on up. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. So Paul is a great example of a life lived with holy purpose. Look at what he wrote in Philippians chapter 3. We'll wrap this up here, hopefully. In Philippians 3, verse 17, he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine." Boy, can we say that? Can we say that to other Christians? We ought to be able to. We ought to be able to. "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those," not only him, but there was others, he says, "and learn from those who follow our example." So we ought to be following this example where others can look at us and say, "Oh, that's what it means to walk with God. That's what it means to live for Him. That's what it means to be holy." Praise God.
Amen.
"For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many," he's talking about Christians now, people that call themselves Christians, "with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ." Now, their words may say that they're with Christ, but their conduct is showing something different. "Their conduct shows that they're really enemies of the cross of Christ. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth." Then Paul gives us the same mindset that Peter talked about, "But we are citizens of heaven."
Amen.
We are citizens of heaven. Where are you a citizen of? You're a citizen of heaven too. If you're born again, you're a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
I'm a patriot. I believe in, I'm not making a comment on the Super Bowl. I'm talking about I love this country, and I'm thankful to be a citizen of this country. But first, I'm a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And so are you. Amen.
"But
we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior." Now, we're currently living on the earth, but we're citizens of heaven. Anybody ever been to another country? Foreign country? It's not so much of a difference when you go to Fort Walton Beach, Florida. I mean, that's still the redneck Riviera. I feel right at home there. Glory to God. I like that part, Panama City and Fort Walton Beach. There's just good old home folks there. But if you ever go to a foreign country, you sense it more then that you're not a citizen there. You may be living there or visiting there, but you're a citizen of the USA. Well, it's true here. We're living in this world, but we're not citizens here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. We have to keep that mindset. We can't get caught up. We can't conform to this system. Amen?
Amen.
And so again, Peter emphasizes, let me just point them out again before we close, the two agents that will enable us and empower us to live and be pulled into this life of holiness. It's the blood of Jesus. Knowing this, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. I'm back in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 now. "From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, in the Old Testament, the priest was instructed in Leviticus 14. God, through Moses, instructed those Old Testament priests. They said, "Take the blood and take some of the blood and apply it to the lobe of your right ear and apply it to the thumb of your right hand and apply it to the big toe of your right foot." That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember Brother Jerry O'Dell talking about that one time and reading that, and he said, "Well, what God showed me in that was God knows what He wants." So He's specific.
Yeah.
Amen. Can you just hear Him saying that?
Yeah.
But that signifies something for us today, that the blood of Jesus sanctifies that blood on the lobe of your ear. Your thoughts are determined by what comes in your ears, and so the blood of Jesus sanctifies our thought life.
Amen.
That thumb, that blood on your thumb, that represents what you set your hand to, your work. And so the blood of Jesus sanctifies our work. And then that blood on your toe, that's your walk. You're walking through this world. Your walk through this life. The blood of Jesus sanctifies our walk. Sanctifies our thoughts. It sanctifies our work. It sanctifies our walk. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. In Hebrews 9:21, it makes a comment there. It says, all the vessels of ministry were sanctified by blood. God gave me a revelation of this some time ago. All the vessels of ministry were sanctified by blood. Talking about Moses, when they had built the tabernacle and they made all the instruments and vessels, that he sprinkled blood. He took the hyssop and he sprinkled blood. He sprinkled blood on the people. Like Mark Hankins says, he's slinging blood everywhere. He sprinkled the book. And he sprinkled all the vessels. He says all the vessels of ministry were sanctified by blood. Well, in the Old Testament, it was pots and pans and lavers and altars and all of that. But today, the vessels of ministry are, guess what? Yeah, you and me. But that principle is still true. The vessels of ministry are sanctified, set apart. That's what sanctified means. Made holy. How? By blood. By the blood. So we apply the blood. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Apply the blood over your life. And so I started doing that with my family. And every day, every morning, I apply the blood over my family. The blood for protection. Father, I thank you the blood is over my family. And I call every member of my family. And I say, Lord, I thank you that the blood is a sign for our protection, as it says in Exodus. And I thank you for protection by the blood. And then I pray and I say, Father, I thank you that every member of our family is sanctified and set apart for the purpose you have for their lives.
Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Set apart for the ministry and the work that you have for them by the blood of Jesus. Do that over your life. Do that over your family. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. It's the blood that sanctifies us. And then he talks about the incorruptible word. He talks about that we're born again by the word of God, the incorruptible seed, God's word that lives and abides forever. And he says in verse 22 that our souls are purified through obeying the truth. That's acting on God's word. When we act on the word of God, there's a purifying effect in our soul. Amen. We talked about last week, it's not just enough to hear the word, but we act on the word. Yeah, go ahead and put that back up there. That's good. That we act on God's word. Amen. We purify our souls, he says, in obeying the truth. So when we act on God's word, there's a purifying effect that it has in our soul, in our mind, our emotions. Amen. Praise God. So that seed is in you. It's incorruptible seed. It's bringing life. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll finish it up here with the message again. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb, and this was no afterthought. Even though it has only lately, at the end of the ages, become public knowledge, God always knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of this sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. Thank God we have a bright, glorious, wonderful future in God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you.